Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today. Thanks for listening in. Let's start with the weather for this coming week. Here's KHOI weather correspondent Vaughn Kettleson with climatologist Elwin Taylor.
Community Radio KHOI, Vaughn Kettleson visiting here with ISU Extension climatologist Dr. Elwin Taylor. And boy, about a week ago, Elwin, we had a lot of cancellations, postponements due to that ice storm. And this past weekend, quite a turnaround. It actually felt like spring, but I'm hearing talk that we may have a storm on the way this week.
Yes, let's say it was an interlude, not a turnaround. Although I don't see in the forecast right now freezing rain, I do see frozen precipitation. They expected Tuesday, Wednesday, 50-70% chance, depending on the time of day you look. And this will be a storm coming up from Texas Panhandle way. It will be pushed out of the way by air coming in from Canada, particularly from the Alberta area. And that will start the temperatures dropping. And for late Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every night colder, will be down into the teens for overnight temperatures, 17, 19 degree kind of things. The 6 to 10 day outlook, well, not so bad there. We do anticipate that the temperatures for the time of year will still be near normal, to maybe a slightly above, but drier than usual, the moisture going up through Canada for the next week or so. That 6 to 10 day outlook is a favorable thing, but remember, we've got to get through the storms, so the next couple of days, it looks like they will really pass our way.
Okay, Elwin, anything else that you'd like to add?
I believe that's about what we've got. Remember, stay on the paved roads. The dirt roads are muddy. Frost down in them, and the warm weather we had last week. Till the end of the week when they freeze up solid again, it'll be a bit messy on the dirt roads.
ISU Extension climatologist Dr. Elwin Taylor joining us talking about the weather. Vaughn Kittleson on Community Radio KHOI.
And you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Thanks for joining us. Local Talk is where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. And this weekend, those stories extended to actually the whole world, got involved with events that also touched Iowa. This weekend saw an historic event. The Women's March on Washington occurred in response to the inauguration of Donald Trump, accompanied by marches in around 700 other cities around the world. An estimated 5 million people turned out to march. We'll be getting firsthand descriptions from some local folks who went to Washington, D.C., as well as to Des Moines, where an estimated 26,000 people marched on Saturday. The day saw a series of rallies organized in, like I said, approximately 700 what they called sister cities. In Iowa, there were rallies in Dubuque, Iowa City, and the Quad Cities, and, of course, Des Moines, where 26,000 showed up. The march started with an informal and spontaneous plan instigated the day after election in November for some Facebook friends to go to Washington, D.C. in reaction to Trump's election and his political views. A woman named Teresa Shook, who lives in Hawaii, created a Facebook event and invited 40 of her friends to go with her to Washington to protest Trump's election. Other Facebook pages were created and thousands of people began to sign up to march. Various Facebook pages were consolidated to unite efforts, and an organizing committee was formed with attention to ensuring leadership from women of differing races and backgrounds. The stated purpose of the march was a proactive stance on women's rights and social justice, and on January 12th, the march organizers released a statement addressing reproductive rights, immigration reform, religious discrimination, lesbian, gay, and bisexual and transsexual rights, gender and racial inequalities, workers' rights, and many other social justice issues. Planned Parenthood partnered with the march on Washington, providing staff and a large event planning expertise that their organization had. Trump had made campaign promises to defund Planned Parenthood if they continued to perform abortions. By January 18th, more than 400 organizations had partnered with the event. Some you might recognize include Natural Resources Defense Council, the AFL-CIO, Amnesty International USA, the National Organization for Women, MoveOn.org, Human Rights Watch, Code Pink, NAACP, the American Indian Movement, Emily's List, Oxfam, Greenpeace USA, and the League of Women Voters. So what started as a project among Facebook friends became truly a global event. Sister Cities sprang up around the United States and cities outside of our country. To name just a few of these, they included Sydney, Hong Kong, London, Rome, Cape Town, Bermuda, Frankfurt, Barcelona, Munich, Copenhagen, Melbourne, Bonn, Brussels, Calgary, Toronto, Vancouver, Prague, Paris, Helsinki, Athens, New Delhi, Calcutta, Tel Aviv, Pristina, which is in Kenya, Beirut, Oslo, Mexico City, Seoul, Yos, Nigeria, Geneva, and even the Antarctica. Some of our KHOI reporters were at rallies. Gail Seiler went to Washington, D.C. Gail, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, Ursula.
Gail is coming to us by telephone. And Gail, give us your impressions of what you saw when you went to Washington. Or you're still in Washington, right?
I'm still in Washington, okay. Right. Yeah, my daughter lives here, so when I decided to come, I decided to turn it into a little bit of a weekend visit. And, she was, one of the reasons I decided to come. But, what was it like? It was, as the news media has been reporting, there were so many more people than expected. The metro was so crowded just getting there. Some people couldn't even get on the metro. When I was on the metro and got off at the station, it took over 30 to 45 minutes to get from my train up the escalators and out onto the street. That's how many people there were. You just couldn't move, but everyone was friendly and upbeat and just so excited to be there. For a time, when we were out on the streets, there really it seemed like there would be no march because there were so many people. They
you couldn't go anywhere.
The whole area. Yeah, there was nowhere to march to, exactly. You'd try to make your way down through the crowd down one street and you'd just meet a bigger crowd. So, for a while it really seemed like there was not going to be a march because the area that they were given to have the march within became just completely filled with people. And from where they were supposed to start marching to where they were supposed to end, it was just filled. But then what happened was people seemed to break off in different directions. So there seemed to be multiple marches began. Mm-hmm. And they just spanned out to cover much of downtown D.C. And I assume the police kept adjusting and closing streets way beyond those that were initially granted in the permit. And people just filled the streets everywhere. And then kind of, separate marches evolved. And most of the marches headed down toward Washington Monument from various, different points coming at that. But we finally did get to feel like we were marching. But for a while, there was just complete standing around in gridlock. But people were okay with that. But it was good that we actually did get to march because the energy really heightened when we were able to march and start more chanting and so on. So that's what it was like.
You recorded some voices of various people at the march. Would you share some of those with us?
Yeah, sure. During one of the times when we were just standing in the crowd, when we weren't able to go anywhere, I just started asking different people around me why they were there. And you'll hear from what you will play. They were all ages, all genders, all races and ethnicities, people from lots of different places. So, yeah, in this first one, you'll hear four females of different ages and races saying why they were there.
People get to march for women's rights because women need rights. They should get more jobs and they should create more sports for women.
I'm 81 years old. The very first march I ever went on was Equal Rights Amendment. And I'm here because I didn't believe I still would be here. Not again, but I am. And until equal rights is passed, we really need to change the Constitution. So I'll keep coming, and I'm meeting my grandkids here, so looking forward. We're going to make a difference. We're making progress, slow but sure, even with Trump.
I'm here to support the equal rights movement and get equal rights for women and have the women make their own decisions about their body.
I'm from New York, Brooklyn, New York, and I'm here to take up space as a black woman because black women are oftentimes left out of movements that cater towards women's rights as if we are not women as well. I'm here to ensure that we aim towards dismantling a system that centers whiteness and instead center the most marginalized people, and to ensure that we are all included. We cannot be free unless all of us are free. I think people are being more mindful of how corrupt the system has always been. Black folks have always been the oppressed, and movements have always been built off the backs of black folks. But I think now people are becoming more aware that our oppression are interconnected and being mindful that we must free the most systemically marginalized so we can all reach towards liberation. And I think the Trump inauguration made that really clear. And it will take all hands on deck in order to reach that achievement.
Gail?
There you heard a young girl who was 8 years old, a woman who was 81 years old and had marched for the Equal Rights Amendment a number of years back. Then an 11-year-old girl, and then a woman who was probably in her 20s, the one from Brooklyn. And it was common to hear the cheers. In the clip, you would be talking with someone, and then there would just be these cheers come rolling through the crowd, and you heard that at one point in that that segment. Yeah.
So what else do you
As you mentioned in your intro, people were there with signs and, you know, when you talk to folks, they were supporting not just women's rights, but many, many other, concerns and issues especially in relation to Trump. And, I spoke with three generations of the same family who expressed many of these different concerns. So if you want to play that one now, we can hear that.
I have three daughters. Three granddaughters. I'm standing up for women's rights, and I hate Trump.
My main purpose for coming today was to stand with Planned Parenthood, protecting everybody else's right to choose what they do with their body.
Why didn't I come? Mostly for, like, women's rights for myself and the other women in my family, and then also just to protect LGBTQ rights for my friends who are part of the queer community, who are really important to me, and their lives are now in danger because of a lot of the policies Trump wants to put in place. So I'm here for them, too.
I'm here because our president-elect should know that there is absolutely no mandate in terms of women's rights. We will fight for our rights, that they are our constitutional rights, and he will not take them away from us. That's why I'm here. We outnumber those that think otherwise and that would dare to take our rights away.
I'm concerned about other things as well as women's rights. I'm concerned about the EPA. I'm concerned about immigration. I'm concerned about the LGBTQ community. I think this is a very dangerous person that we've put in office. He has no knowledge of the history of this country in any way, but he got chosen. We're here to protest that, do whatever we can for as long as we can.
And we're listening to Voices from Washington, D.C. I want to remind our listeners that KHOI does not condone hate speech, even if it applies to the President of the United States. And we are speaking with Gail Seiler, who is still in Washington, D.C. Gail, you have...
Yep.
You have a few more voices for us, right?
Yeah, I just would also tell the listener that was a whole family, and one of the people in that family was in a wheelchair, and it was amazing to me that people, you know, with those kinds of disabilities were brave enough to come because it was very hard to negotiate the crowds and everything. And so, but there were many people with disabilities who were there. So, yeah, what else caught my eye? It was interesting that while we were there, we didn't have information really about how large the march was. But when people could get cell reception, they would find out. You know, we'd find out different things because cell reception wasn't good because there were so many people there. And then we would hear about marches in other places, too. And that really energized people as well. One thing that did catch my attention was there was a group of people who I learned were medical students, and they all had their white doctor coats on. And so I went over and spoke with them to hear why they were there.
First, I have to just say as a disclaimer that we don't represent UConn Health. Our opinions are our own. And we came today because we believe that women's rights are human rights. We have a lot of concerns. Some of us are Muslim. Most of our group is minority. We all are also going to be future physicians. So we're first-year medical students, and we're worried that most of our patients, when we graduate, won't have insurance.
Well, my name is Prakar. I'm also from the University of Connecticut School of Medicine. I'm mostly here because I come from a large, like, aggregate family, and I have all younger female cousins, ranging from, like, 0 to 13. And I guess I'm really here for them, just so that they know that they have a safe world to live in. The election doesn't necessarily reflect what people around them think is acceptable behavior.
Well, my son says I'm Muslim and a feminist. So yeah, most people think that when you're a Muslim, you're oppressing women, etc. Just to counteract that with our presence, and we're also wearing our white coats here to show that we're really worried about our future patients' access to healthcare.
The last one is just a quick one that gives audio what it sounded like.
Okay. Tell me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like. To the White House! We're taking it back!
Whose choice?
My choice!
Okay.
Those were some of the sounds.
And we're listening to sounds from Washington, D.C., brought to us by our reporter, Gail Seiler, who's in Washington. Thank you so much, Gail, for taking
the trouble to
report for us from D.C. and to call in and, just give us your impressions. Really appreciate it. And come home safely to us, okay?
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Like I said, Gail is a reporter for Local Talk, and you are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host, Ursula Rudenberg. Carolyn Klaus is with us as well. Carolyn is with the Story County League of Women Voters. Welcome to KHOI, Carolyn. And she organized a caravan to the Des Moines rally. KHOI reporter Susan Franson is with us here, and Susan also went to Des Moines. It'd be great to have both of you describe a little bit what happened in Des Moines. Carolyn, would you tell us your impression of what you saw there?
Well, listening to Gail this morning, it was like being in Des Moines again. It was just seeing the diversity of the people who were there. There were men, children, many women from all areas they spanned the globe. I felt like it was an international march for women. Everybody was excited to go. Yes.
And these were Iowans.
These were Iowans.
So it kind of showed what a diverse state Iowa has become, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. These were Iowans who had a daughter in Washington, D.C., a mother in Washington, D.C., and they were all supporting each other. We did this group from the League, along with some other friends. My granddaughter and my daughter were part of that. And we went down to support all the issues and the priorities that go along with it. And the priorities weren't just about women. The priorities were about climate. They were about our immigration system. They were about our health system. It was just support for mankind and human rights.
I'm trying to think of a summary of what you think the march really said. It was a statement about humanity?
Oh, very much so. I think very much so. We have to take care of each other. The speakers were fabulous. There was the person who had no voice and the person interpreted for him. You know, she gave it in her sign language and then the interpreter. There was the disabled person in the wheelchair. There was the indigenous Indians were there. And the Planned Parenthood group, we were all there to support each other.
And what was the atmosphere in such, that's a large crowd, 26,000.
Well, on Wednesday I was pumping people up to go because there were 5,000. Friday, I got the email that said, we won't be in the Capitol. We're going to all be outside for the whole time. So it was 10,000. And when we got down there, and I said, this is a lot more than 10,000. Mm-hmm. I've been to the 4th of July here, and we're, this is huge. So mm-hmm. 26,000. Everybody was happy to be there. I never saw anybody saying, why are you here, or disputing and fighting. There was, everybody was there for the same cause.
So there was a sense of consensus in a way.
Yes,
such a
very
crowd.
Much so, very much so.
What exactly did you do in Des Moines? Where did you go? Where did you march to?
Well, it was interesting. The lady talked about the gridlock in Washington, D.C. We had gridlock in Des Moines also. When they started out, they said, now, I don't think they had permits to close the street. And so they said we would stay on the walkway. Well,
it's hard to do with 26,000 people.
We took the street on the south side of the Capitol. We took mm-hmm. the street. And then as you get the 26,000 people spread out, you can't do that four at a time on a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So we had to do the street. And then it was just...
So you actually marched from one place to another?
We started at the west side of the Capitol and walked all around the Capitol and back. Mm-hmm. So, and then we gathered there on the west side overlooking downtown Des Moines.
Mm-hmm. And was there a podium with speakers?
Yes, there was mm-hmm. a podium with speakers. Mm-hmm. There were, the signs were amazing. You just sat there and you read these posters that people had homemade and you just go, oh, that's my cause. And you go, oh, no, I like that one. And, but it was just eye candy beyond compare.
Susan, you actually were in Des Moines, too. And
well, I was reporting for KHOI, so I was running around with a microphone. And don't often wish I could cover something with a movie camera, but as Carolyn said, it was so visually exciting that I just wanted to say, see that, see that. I think that the diversity was stressed in all the speeches, and there was a chant that we said over and over, I support my black brothers and sisters, I support my Latino brothers and sisters, I support my LGBTQ brothers and sisters, I support my immigrant brothers and sisters, I support, and it went on and on. And I felt it was a unity march, a unity rally. I didn't hear from the podium anti-Trump, nothing about Trump. And the signs didn't even have much. I love Trump's hate is the way about the extent of it. Actually, though, my favorite sign, I have to, most of these are hand lettered, and most of them, I think that there were very few duplicates. I mean, almost all of them were original and different, but my favorite is, hell hath no fury like 100 million women scorned.
Well, go ahead.
Somebody in our group. One person, we heard the name Trump from the podium. We said, that's the first time I've heard his name today. So it was not a march mm-hmm. for, it was, did not feel like a political march. It felt like a march for the issues that were important.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody said a little bit earlier, I don't know if it was Gail or one of the people she interviewed, that the Trump election made things clearer. Do you feel that this election has had the effect of bringing people together and more clarity about what they want?
It woke a lot of people up. I think people realize that their vote is one thing, but to be active and talking to everybody about these issues is even more important. And you think your vote doesn't matter. Your vote can matter and will matter. Mm-hmm. And let's hope the vote on the issues that we were supporting on Saturday, the vote does not overcome the minority that lost.
Mm-hmm. The minority that lost, but so many people lost in that. Just a second. The minority. Oh, you mean the individual. Yeah.
Right.
If we go together, and I think that that was the big message and the big emotional thrust that we're all in this together. And I'd like to, since I mentioned that I couldn't take any pictures, well, I did take a few pictures, but I couldn't take any.
For the radio.
Yes, for the radio. But I did go to some people who stood out visually, and so I'd like to play this little clip of what they told me. Talking to a woman who has a sign that says, still marching after all these years. So what does that mean?
Well, actually, this is an homage to the suffragettes. This image was from a 1913 march in Washington, D.C. for women getting the right to vote. And so I've taken the image from that and actually have a costume that matches. And I am marching today in honor of those suffragettes who worked so long and hard to get us our right to vote, and all the other women throughout the years that have continued to expand our rights. And I am also marching to let the world know that we will not let those rights be diminished now.
And where are you from?
I am from Boone, Iowa.
Hello, I see you have a pussy hat on. Yeah. Why are you marching today?
Well, for a variety of reasons, but I think to remind the lawmakers, both here in Washington, that the concerns of women and concerns of our families should be the concerns of the nation, and they should take us seriously, despite the goofy hats.
I am here to interview people about why they're protesting, and I see you have a sign that says Women of Color Fight Back, and I notice there aren't very many women of color here, and so I just wanted to interview you. Why are you protesting here today?
So I work for this nonprofit called Monsoon, United Asian Women of Iowa, and they give advocacy service to survivors of domestic violence, specifically Asian and Pacific Islander women, because there are cultural and language barriers, and so this nonprofit really relies on funding that the Office of Violence Against Women provides to the organization. And yeah, we're just really worried about the Trump administration, because they, according to their budget and the cuts that they want to do, they want to eliminate the Office of Violence Against Women entirely, which will just destroy all of the wonderful things that this organization does. So I'm here to speak for women of color.
Thank you.
Yeah, Susan, you mentioned the pussy hats in your description. Can you describe how that looks?
Well, maybe Carolyn, did you have some members of the league wearing pussy hats?
You know, we did not have very many in our group that were wearing them. The ones who walked through the lines early, we were there by, you know, right at 10 o'clock. They were handing out bags of these for free, and it's a pink hat, furry hat, or knitted, and it has ears on it.
Yeah, it's really just a rectangle stitched on both sides. And when you stick it up, the ears flop down.
Yeah.
Many were knitted. In fact, I heard someplace that stores are running out of pink yarn.
Yeah, I heard that too. There's a shortage of pink yarn now.
Pink yarn. And so there were all different shades of pink. And
so I'm sure we're going to see them around town, because there were many, many pink hats.
good time to be selling pink yarn.
Yes.
Yes. And when I was slow to figure out what that was all about. I was getting a ride from somebody, and she said, I'm still working on my pussy hat. And I thought, what's that? And
so it's a reference to a remark Donald Trump made, right?
It is.
About grabbing pussy.
Yes, one of the few signs that had anything about pussy was a big pink sign that said this, and it just had an image of a cat bites back. And incidentally, there's a little reference to the homogeneity of the group. I think it was to the credit of the planners that they had such diversity in the presentations. They had a black woman who sang the Star Spangled Banner at the beginning. Incidentally, the register mentioned her by name and told a little of her story. I thought that was really nice. And then one of the lead speakers, basically a sociologist from Drake who taught social movements, courses about social movements. And she basically gave us a history and a lot of rally points. Yes.
Facts.
Facts, but and how many marches have there been? 123, you know.
Well, you also mentioned that you have a clip that talks about age diversity. Let's listen to that.
Why are you marching today?
Because this is where people belong to be. This is where Iowa needs to be. This is Iowa at its best. My first protest was in 1963 at the March on Washington with Martin Luther King. I've protested forever. I'm 74. And I want to hear the voices of young women. I want to hear what the millennials have to say, what kind of leadership they're going to come up with. You know, we don't want millennials to say, well, life is all wonderful and great and we're all, you know, taking selfies, and that's fine. There's another part of life. And you now have the opportunity to find cooperative resistance. And they will. I have faith in this generation. This is the first test of the millennial generation. The millennials have not had a protest movement. And they're 1.7 million more than the baby boomers. And I saw how baby boomers changed this country. And so millennials can too. They will develop leadership. They will develop their own songs. But the issues of racism and sexism, of disrespect for people with disabilities, these are not new issues. And they will find a place of loving resistance the way we did.
This is also my first official protest, and I really think it's important that we don't try to take away people's rights just because we have different opinions on things. I want to show my support, and this is me starting to do something.
This is also my first protest. And with the current administration, I think it's really important to show that we're not going to let it happen. No matter who's in office, people are people, and we're not going to let their rights be taken away.
And now we have a man here with...
Hello. Yes, this is my first active protest as well. I am here because I want to stand in solidarity with those whose voice may not be heard by our president. Just because he doesn't listen to them doesn't mean I don't stand for them. I think it's very important to show that we are with them, we accept them, and that we stand for their rights as well as ours.
This is your first protest.
All right, is it?
I've been to quite a few.
What protests have you been to?
I've protested for ending corporate personhood. I've protested for nuclear disarmament, and I've protested for the Dakota Access Pipeline ending.
Yes, and that shows that some of the young protesters or the young people who were there have already got some experience with resisting. There were quite a few Stop the Pipeline T-shirts there.
Yes, yes. When you were in Des Moines, were you becoming aware of the fact that you were part of such a large global demonstration?
Before I left that morning, I heard on the radio that they had expected 300 people in Sydney and 8,000 showed up. And I thought, wow, this is around the world. And it felt big. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking there, we said, I wonder how many are in Washington, D.C. So, like, mm-hmm. you Google it and you go, oh my goodness, everybody's mm-hmm. coming out. I would like to say that one of the biggest questions in our group was the challenge of what do we do tomorrow to mm-hmm. keep this movement and this, I don't like to use the word protest.
No, I agree.
I like to do the challenge to make sure our rights are protected and we keep moving in a forward, we don't go back.
Yeah, that was the real common thread that I heard. We won't go back. We won't give up voting rights. We won't give up reproductive rights. We won't give up all the rights we have won. And the other thing about it's being such a broad spectrum of concerns was that basically you had the feeling anything that you really care about, work on that, because we need all of it.
Right. Is this the life we want for our children? Is this the life we want for our grandchildren? You know, what are we need to protect our rights for me today, but for the next generations coming down.
And so for our neighbors.
Yes.
And for our Muslim neighbors, our black neighbors,
definitely.
Our Native American neighbors that may not live very close to us. There was a beautiful couple at the end. They were from the Omaha, from Nebraska. And they were both dressed in traditional clothing and had really very moving things.
So what I hear in what you're saying is this was, it was partly a protest. It came out of a protest against the election, but more so in a way it's being treated as a moment of clarification.
Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. We need to clarify where we want to go with women's rights, with the climate change and protecting the planet.
any concrete plans come out of all this in terms of actions taken? Or is everybody just thinking about what happened?
Well, you know, I think people are listening and people are going to show up. Listen to the news every day. And if you need to be somewhere, figure out a way if you can make it or send somebody to be there to get your voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the message. It was energizing. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is the first day. One of the young women in the who was interviewed said, you know, this is my beginning. I'm here to get started. And and I think that was a good starter.
Yeah. I'm membership chair on the League of Women Voters. And, you know, we talk priorities. Since the election, we have been approached by many younger women in our organization, which we need younger women, saying, after this election, I knew I needed to find a way to get my voice heard with a group of people. So
there's been a lot of talk about the division that occurred in this country and really in the world in this election. And in a way, what you're saying is there's more than division going on. There's also a process of a lot of people finding each other.
Yes.
As well. And kind of clarifying what they believe in. So, like they say, there's nothing like something you don't want to help clarify what you do want, right?
That's very much the issue of the day was, you know, where do you want to be and what group do you want to be identified with?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I'm speaking with Susan Franson and Carolyn Klaus, and they went to the march on Des Moines on Saturday. For the kind of one of the adjunct marches.
The sister marches.
Right. And Des Moines was a sister city to Washington, D.C. on Saturday. And
yes.
With about 700 cities around the world,
mm-hmm.
including the Antarctica. That made an impression on me. There's actually women in Antarctica.
Well, I was impressed with the 11 different cities in Alaska that mm-hmm. I heard about.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are... We're aware.
Yeah,
Thank goodness for media.
I read there was even a city in Iraq that had a march.
Yes.
Which I didn't recognize the name of the city, but it truly was a global event. And thank you for sharing your personal impressions here in Iowa. Any last words?
Get involved.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there are a couple lecture forums, Monday and Tuesday, about rights and diversity. At Iowa State. I don't know the details, but seven p.m. in the Union.
Okay. And the MLK Day is being celebrated out at the Ames Middle School tonight. They had to postpone it from last Monday. So,
that's right.
You know,
Thank you.
That's a good way to see the involvement of our community.
What time do the celebration start at the middle school?
I think 6:00.
Okay, well,
I have to be there at 5:30 to cut the cake. So,
well, we have Allison Walter here who can tell us, hopefully, and so we'll be speaking with her next. And thank you so much, Carolyn Klaus and Susan Franson, for sharing this with us.
Thank you.
I got kicked off of Noah's Ark. I turned my cheek to one kind remark. That was true of everything but one of me. And when the rains came tumbling down, I held my breath and I stood my ground. And I
watch that ship go sailing out to sea. Take it back, oh no, you can't say that. All of my friends are not dead. O-N-G, yeah, yeah. Rock out the stone, the black wind still moans. Sweet revenge without fail.
And this is Local Talk. We have been talking about the Women's March in Washington, D.C. and 700 other cities around the world, including Des Moines. And that was John Prine with Sweet Revenge. And Allison Walter is here with us from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Allison, for starters, you're at your monthly review of what's happening in the Central Iowa area. For starters, could you speak to when the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial event is going to be happening tonight?
Sure, right. It is 6 o'clock for cake and music, and then there will be an hour-long program that will start about 6:30, and that is at the Ames Middle School this evening. As Carolyn mentioned, it was postponed due to all the ice storms and the bad weather last week. And they always do have a contingent date. So it was easily rescheduled because they were prepared for that.
Okay, so. Thank you. So that's the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Celebration at 6:30 at the Ames Middle School tonight.
And everyone's welcome to arrive around 6, and they'll be serving birthday cake.
Okay, great. Now, Allison, you just recently had your annual meeting for the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Yes. We celebrate every year in early January, and this year it was on Thursday, January 12th. We always look back on the last year, but then we also, give all of our guests and our members an opportunity to kind of preview what we've got coming up for the next year, which is the exciting, always looking forward. This is actually, we celebrated our 30th year of the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And
congratulations.
Kind of kicked off the 30th year. So, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and you issued an annual report.
Yes.
Before we talk about that, just one of the things that's very nice about the Convention and Visitors Bureau is every time you have this meeting, you come up with a new and different way to do it.
Yes.
So what did you do this year? Where were you?
We were at the Sukup End Zone Club, and the big...
Which is in the Seaway Stadium.
The south end zone of Directri Stadium. And we celebrated 30 years by and 3 decades by looking forward, and we actually had an opportunity for people to use 3D virtual reality glasses.
Wow.
And
to see what?
To see some of the local sites of Ames. And so we had 3 different pictures, 3D virtual reality photos for them to use the VR glasses and look at, you know, really what the future is of trying to sell our community and trying to entice people to come.
Did you get a good response for that?
We did, yeah. Everyone had a great time. And, you know, just really thinking about, you always have to be looking ahead and you always have to be on the cutting edge of what the next thing is, especially when you're in sales and marketing. And, you know, if you watched any advertisements over the holidays, you definitely saw the growth of all the virtual reality and 3D. And so we just want everyone to know that we are always, you know, always looking for the next best thing.
You are. You throw very creative parties. I'm sorry I missed it this year. It sounds like it was fun.
It was.
So talk to us about the annual report.
Yes. And this is posted on our website. And we are actually, before the end of the month, I think I can safely say, unveiling a new website, which will be Think Ames instead of Visit Ames, which we've been using for a number of years. So
that's
just
thinkames.com
as our website for the Bureau. So with our annual report, we always look at the past year to realize that we worked with 531 different groups that came to Ames last year and attracted over 708,000 overnight guests, and that those guests had $130 million impact through their direct spending in our community. That's impressive. Substantial. Yeah, substantial number. We've got a great partnership with, you know, both the City of Ames and Iowa State University. So it really helps us sell the community and bring those people to the community. You might remember that we had about 1,000 veterinary students here over spring break, the Student American Veterinary Medical Association Symposium, and that was a student-led initiative by the Iowa State Vet students, which was kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. We had the inaugural Soil Health Conference that attracted farmers, academia, government agencies, and corporations, and we had the Collegiate Band Directors National Association in their North Central Division Conference, and that brought 8 performances of Midwest collegiate bands to Ames last spring. You know, of course, there were all the youth sports activities that continue to be important in the community. We hosted over 85 events, including the 30th anniversary of the Iowa Summer Games, the Central States Collegiate Hockey Championship, USA Ultimates Central High School Championships, the World Series of Beat Baseball, the baseball for the visually impaired, and AASA Girls Class A 16 and under Northern National Fast Pitch Championships.
Can you give us some highlights of what you're planning for this coming year?
We have a number of sports events and youth events. We will have the Tuba and Euphonium Association conference, and that will bring hundreds of tuba players and euphonium players to Ames in March.
What is the euphonium?
It looks like a tuba, but it's not quite as large.
Okay.
So it's a different instrument, but sort of in that same feel. We will have the Iowa Jazz Championships, 2,500 youth musicians and their families, and that is a high school event, and that'll be in April. In June, we have the 28th Rare Earth Research Conference, bringing science research looks at the novel assortment of elements in the group 3 of the periodic table.
Okay.
Rare earth.
I'm not going to miss that
there
one.
There you go. The Nebraska Bio and Iowa Bio Animal Health Symposium. And that's a great partnership between the Iowa Biotechnology Association, the Ames Economic Development Commission, and the Bureau, and the Cultivation Corridor. And they will be coming to Ames. And then we have Iowa Geocachers Association.
Hmm.
And they will be bringing all of the Iowa geocachers to Ames, and they'll be doing a lot of GPS-led hide-and-seek kind of events, looking for their hidden treasure around the community. Their main location will be out at McFarland Park, but they'll also be searching for geocaches around the whole community of Ames. So that'll be kind of fun.
Can you give us a sense of what we can expect in February?
In February, we will have lots of basketball, of course. We will have a hockey, Iowa State hockey, and we will have some great shows at Stevens Auditorium. Actors is doing their Messiah on the Frigidaire. Got to be sure I say that right. They had performances this weekend, but then they will also be performing again next weekend. you know, we've got great opportunities to get outdoors and enjoy the snow that we're going to be receiving here later this week. We've got ice skating, and we actually have a couple of outdoor ice rinks now. The North River Valley Park near the Cottonwood Shelter is maintained by the Ames Minor Hockey Association. And then Homewood Golf Course has a rink now that Ames Parks and Rec maintains for just the recreational skater. So we have both indoor and outdoor skating. You can get outdoors to Seven Oaks for skiing, snowboarding, and snow tubing. And even with this warmer weather, they have been able to maintain their snow base. So hit the slopes. And
so winter's not over yet.
No, it's not. It's not. And of course, snowshoeing, get out to McFarland Park and our other parks and do some snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. So lots of opportunities to get outside. But, of course, you can always enjoy inside at Ryman Gardens. Mm-hmm. They have started their installation of their new year's exhibition. And they will have a free admission day every second Wednesday of every month this year. So on Wednesday, February 8th, you can see some beautiful things indoors at Ryman Gardens. That's a great way to get out, you know, and enjoy both indoors and mm-hmm. outdoors. So
okay.
I mentioned our new website, thinkames.com, but mm-hmm. we also have our sitesofames.com.
Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between the two sites?
The Sites of Ames is really designed for if you are in Ames and looking for something to do right now. It's very timely, very visual, and very mobile friendly. So a great way to get some information right at your fingertips.
And that's C-Y-T-E-S
of Ames.com. It's named after Cy, our mascot. So sitesofames.com or thinkames.com. And that's really designed for as you're planning your trip or if you're looking to plan a conference or event, there's lots of planning information on mm-hmm. that website.
Okay, we're speaking with Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, and congratulations on what sounds like was a very successful year in terms of making Ames a destination for visitors to come.
Yes, and looking forward to many more as we kick off our 30th year.
Okay, any last words, Allison?
Think of us if you need something to do or if you're looking to plan an event in Ames. Give us a call.
And you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and we've been speaking with Allison Walter from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thank you for coming, Allison.
Thank you. As always,
it's a pleasure. During today's show, we also spoke with Carolyn Klaus, Gail Seiler, and Susan Franson about the Women's March, which was held on Saturday. Thanks also to Von Kettleson and climatologist Elwin Taylor for our weekly weather prediction. Local Talk, which engineered by Evan Taylor. Thank you, Evan. Our theme song, as always, is Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Remember that the Martin Luther King Memorial Celebration will be held this evening, Monday, at 6:30 at the Ames Middle School. You can listen to this show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. And you can find today's show on our homepage as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, is able to post it. KHOI streams live at khoifm.org, where you can also find an archive of all of our shows. And please remember that you, as the listener, are the most important part of Local Talk. Your participation as the audience and your generous donations help make it all possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.